from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. This is your news for the second half of July 2024. Gay furries hack Heritage Foundation. All right, who had gay furries try and protect democracy on their political bingo card? Certainly not me. A few days ago, the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank that is one of the masterminds behind Project 2025, was hacked. Although it was difficult to determine exactly what the information pertained to, the breach royally ticked off the foundation's executive director, Mike Howell. The hacker group, named SiegeSec, is comprised of gay men who dress up in smelly anime costumes and engage in something they call yiffing, which is just a nice word for sweaty sex. The group's head rep, called Vio, engaged in a rather interesting exchange with Howell, which has now gone viral. Here's his totally non-supervillain response. "Closeted furries will be presented to the world for the degenerate perverts they are," Howell said. "You cannot hide. Your means are minuscule compared to mine. You now can either turn yourself in or you can cooperate." When that threat did little to intimidate a group of people accustomed to being hated on, he said this little gem. "Are you aware that you won't be able to wear a furry tiger costume when you're getting pounded in the ass in the federal prison I put you in next year?" Howell asked. Threatening a group of gay men with ass pounding is not really that intimidating. In his angered state, Howell foolishly agreed to share the conversation, convinced that he would be vindicated in the end. All it shows is that when put under a microscope, he's just as sad and vulgar as the people he smugly looks down on. Now, I'm not an advocate for wearing funny costumes and performing sweaty, smelly rituals, but I have to at least admit that one of these groups of weirdos doesn't try and shove their perversion in my face. Furries are all consenting adults, and more importantly, they leave the rest of the world to live their own lives. Howell and his coven of sexually repressed tight asses, on the other hand, are actively trying to undermine the very founding principle of their country they claim to love so dear. They are too ignorant of history to know that the European wars of religion had left deep scars in its refugees. Those looking for a fresh start knew the incendiary nature of faith, especially when it held the reins of power. The separation of church and state was therefore vital in ensuring that different faiths could coexist. That, apparently, is no longer the goal. To be honest, it should be other religious faiths fighting against Christian nationalism. An Episcopalian or Seventh-day Adventist should be more afraid of these crypto-fascists than secularists. The long history of religious oppression is the result of countries having an official faith. Currently, Christian nationalists are predominantly part of the evangelical branch of America. To think they are at all capable of getting along with other Christian denominations is foolish and dangerous. If history is any teacher, there is only one way for religions to avoid being at the mercy of sectarian overlords: by being secular. Will religion ever appreciate the fact that their only hope for freedom comes from people who could care less about their faith? I doubt it. Six women accuse Kansas City pastor of abuse. In Jackson County, Missouri, six women have come together to accuse their former pastor, a man named Robert Bobby Hawk, of having groomed and abused them. About 3 weeks ago, a blog post written by one of his victims, a woman named Isabel Davis, detailed Hawk's grooming behavior during her attendance at the Epic Church, KC in Independence, where Hawk was the founding pastor. She wrote about how during a visit he put his filthy hands on her inner thigh while the two were watching a movie. Naturally, he threatened her into silence. It didn't take long for other women who had similar experiences to read the post and to reach out to Davis. This would have surfaced earlier, but it appears that when his victims originally came forward, they were bullied into silence. "We were shamed, told to stay quiet, and were pressured by many in the church, including Bobby, to say nothing," Bounds said as her older sister stood behind her and nodded in agreement. "That unfortunately led to other girls up here with me right now on stage also becoming the victims of assault. Now things are a little different. The church no longer has the ability to threaten little girls, and so they suspended Hawk, who later resigned. Now the police are officially involved, and an investigation is underway. The victims are hopeful that some form of justice can prevail. With the statute of limitation on child rape, something that exists only because of intense lobbying by religious organizations, it's difficult to know if any charges will stick. This is why the six women chose to come forward, asking for other victims to do so. So far, the avalanche of testimonials has come flooding in, so there will no doubt be more people coming forward in the coming days. Here's hoping that these women can finally get some justice." The Taliban at war with happiness. If there's one thing that fundamentalists hate, it's joy. They seem positively allergic to it. When all you have in your life is religion, it seems to create in a person a sense of violent superiority, and the sight of anyone enjoying their life outside their narrow confines of faith drives them to violent madness. In Afghanistan, the Taliban has been in power for nearly 3 years now, and in that time, they have banned things like music and dancing. Worse still, their religious thugs patrol the streets, enforcing this ludicrous ban on the simple joys that humans have. A man by the name of Jalili Ahmad said that during his wedding, a bunch of enforcers showed up to the celebration, beating him and several family members, and arresting the father-in-law for 10 days. "They humiliated us and destroyed the best day of my life," he said. "They are at war with happiness." Afghan weddings used to be the stuff of legends, with lively music and dancing to celebrate the union of two people. Now these joyless hypocrites attack anyone who dares to shuffle their feet a little too gracefully. Well, not everyone exactly. You see, so long as you're part of their winning team, you can do whatever you like. For instance, a number of Taliban officials have been caught on video dancing in celebration after their commander's son was born. What a surprise that religious assholes would have different rules for people who are part of their clique. It's always been like this. Religion is just an excuse for tiny-minded thugs to control the lives of others, all the while engaging freely in the things they ban. I bet you these jerks secretly drink alcohol, watch porn, and do just about everything they claim to hate. Did you ever see Osama bin Laden's porn stash? No? Well, that's only because it's never been declassified. Wonder how sick that shit was. Trump followers convinced he's the second coming. By now, you are all aware of the assassination attempt on presidential candidate Donald Trump. A lone gunman, whose motives are still a mystery, shot at him but ultimately killed an innocent bystander instead, but not before grazing Trump on the ear. It was a surreal event, which is why so many people are still in shock. Shock has now turned into the familiar cries of miracle, thanks to the gullibility of his followers. Where once they thought that perhaps he was the chosen messenger of God, now they are certain of it. The recent Republican National Convention made it clear that this was divine providence. The people who spoke from the podium were all in unanimous agreement. God himself had stopped a bullet for this man. With his recent brush with death, Trump seems to be convinced that he is now a god, although it's difficult to know if he has felt this way for a while now. One thing is clear. The religious right is now at his feet, ready to kiss them for the hope of entering his new kingdom, one that would be unrecognizable to the America of today. I have to imagine that this must be a weird time for Republicans that are not evangelicals. They could always convince themselves that Trump was one of them, and was simply using religion, as they all do, to maintain the reins of power. These rich white men thought they could control the more extreme religious fringe with a little money and a lot of propaganda. It is fringe no longer. Instead, Christian nationalism, which is merely a disguised word for fascism, has become mainstream in the party. Many congressmen are now openly calling themselves nationalists, since it opens the door for the theocracy they have been hoping for. As for Trump, while he may not believe in the Christian God, he knows that he is now completely interwoven in its American fabric. He is like a new prophet, and he brings with him the hopes and dreams of citizens who imagine a very different world than they live in today. This is an America to be feared and loathed. Gone would be its secular values of its founding, replaced instead with a newly mutated Christianity with Donald J. Trump as their Messiah. The followers of Trump believe so overwhelmingly in his victory that they think the rest of the country is with them. Those that aren't will be magically swept under the rug, only to go away. This religious pipe dream has one benefit. It is completely out of touch with reality. Viewership in the RMC was at a historic low. Many Republicans are being pushed away by the more fringe factions, and the common interest of the business elite and their once easily manipulated religious allies are dwindling. Trump's choice of running mate, another religious nutbag who is willing to anoint a man he once compared to Hitler, does little to dissuade fears of a complete religious takeover. The right's capitulation to Trump has sealed their fate. The moderates will either remain silent in the hopes he will go away, or they will march in step with the people that terrify them, too afraid of another 4 years of a decrepit old man who will turn their country into a transgendered paradise. In any case, it is a party at war with itself. The RNC had none of the old guard show up. This was a not-so-subtle message that his endorsement is through coercion. The long-term effect of this could very well be that the party implodes on itself, since there will come an irreconcilable rift that will split it in half. Trump's anointment is merely the beginning of that rift. The reality of the situation is that unless Trump is willing to kill his opposition, they aren't going anywhere. The dream that progressives will simply lay down and die is born out of faith and not reality. To rule a country, you need consensus. And that means you must appeal to more than a lunatic branch, no matter how large. In every fascist state, lethal methods were required to maintain control. Countless artists and writers had to be eliminated or silenced to maintain order. How is this to be done in a time and place in which innumerable people express themselves on a daily basis to millions of followers? Are the people who failed to show up to elect him in 2020 suddenly convinced to show up now? If anything, I would say that it has done little to move the needle in his direction within the party itself. The old guard hopes simply to outlive him. Trump is a useful idiot no longer, and his ability to try and bridge the gap with the moderate wing of his party is all but gone. He has only several months to change their mind, but with his assassination attempt, it's a fair bet that the religious rhetoric is about to hit the stratosphere. His choice of vice president is more self-serving than strategic. Trump wants only people willing to kiss the ring. Lastly, it's critical to consider what happens to his allies. Trump loyalists never get that loyalty back. Most of them are either in prison or facing bankruptcy. A presidential pardon would do little to fix their reputation. Having 20% of the population love you is not enough to compensate for the 80% who loathe you. The message is clear. When you base your entire career on this man, prepare for it to be a short one. Trump's only hope is the Electoral College. There is no chance of winning by popular vote in any case. Only by exploiting the broken, archaic system that was invented specifically to impede the voice of the people can he hope to achieve victory. He may yet succeed. Trump loyalists should keep in mind, however, that as you grow in strength, so does your enemy. Politics, as they say, makes for strange bedfellows. The question is this: which bed will people ultimately choose? Mormon Church sued over improper use of tithing. If you're a hardcore listener of TGA, you might remember that we reported on a whistleblower in the LDS Church that exposed its massive financial coffers, over $100 billion and growing. The whistleblower reported that the Mormon Church was spending practically nothing on charitable services. This despite the fact that it had told its members that their money was being used almost exclusively for such purposes. Instead, they are hoarding money and using it in private investments that have nothing to do whatsoever with the supposed mission of the organization. A group of 9 church members are now suing them in court for failing to properly use the money they had donated for charitable purposes. Despite the church representations to the contrary, a substantial and significant amount of the donation it receives are not directed towards humanitarian aid, nor any other philanthropic or charitable purposes, the suit states. Just to give you an idea of the magnitude of the fraud, the suit has a copy of the 2007 tax form that their investment organization had. As you can see, it's pretty egregious. Portion of the 2007 tax form in which Clark, Ensign's peak CEO, declared the book value of all the fund's asset at $1 million, when, the suit claims, it was closer to $38 billion. Only off by 3,800%, you say? Why, not even hucksters like Donald Trump would dare cook their books that bad. Of course, the government did so little to actually stop the fraud that it's practically a joke. The SEC fined Ensign Peak, the group that committed the fraud, a paltry $4 million for using countless shell companies to hide its income. That's roughly 0.00004% of their actual fortune. To call that pathetic would be a disservice to the word. It would be more accurate to call this whole thing immense corruption or intense cowardice. Both are likely. The good news is that this small class action lawsuit could balloon if the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals allows the suit to go through. Meanwhile, lawyers on both sides are still trying to make their cases, or in the defense's end, to try and dismiss it. We'll need to wait and see what the results of this are. Given the fact that the IRS hasn't done anything to religious orgs that break their rules, I have very little faith that anything will happen. Society tends to give an infinite get-out-of-jail-free card to religion. I can't imagine a time where that will ever change. Disciples in the Moonlight is simply Christians getting off on persecution.
You have no idea what you're up against.
You didn't need to come with us.
I didn't do anything wrong.
We have purified this country from the hateful words of the Holy Bible.
I didn't think it was going to be like this.
This feels really rushed, doesn't it?
Be with me on this.
These people are starving for the real word of God.
You're walking away from us!
What you've just heard was a trailer for yet another Christian movie where the protagonists are living in a world where their beliefs are being prosecuted. You might remember the entertaining but preposterous movie The Book of Eli, where Denzel Washington played a blind man who had memorized the entire Bible, and a result was the target of an evil Gary Oldman. At its heart, it was an action movie, which is what made it worth watching. Unfortunately for all of entertainment, this premise wasn't ludicrous enough. Now a Christian production company has decided to make a dystopia in which the Bible is made illegal, and the government forces people to have a more inclusive Bible. The main characters must now run all over the place with dramatic music playing in order to stop the evil government. The comments section of the video is pretty telling. A bunch of delusional Christians that feel as though the whole world is against them. These are the same people that are attempting to impose the Bible on everyone else, hoping to use the government as their cudgel to force it down our throats.
The agenda that is the teaching of the devil and is leading people to hell with him. Follow Christ's teaching and you will have eternal life. People different from you have every right to be on the same planet, but the right to enter the kingdom of heaven is given by its king, and his name is Jesus Christ. You will see him coming in the clouds on the day he will judge you and me and all the living and the dead. The difference is he is with me, and I am with him. Who are you with?
So basically, you really only have the right to follow the Bible, and everyone else can burn in hell. What a pleasant God you believe in. No wonder his followers are all so fucking annoying. They keep thinking that if they aren't in charge, the whole world will fall apart. This kind of fantasy is probably intended to make them believe that their attempts to undermine the separation of church and state is ultimately for the greater good. It's just the kind of delusional, non-reality-based thinking that these clowns are famous for. So, who's in the mood to watch a bunch of crappy, third-rate actors cry over not being able to read about how Jesus cursed a bunch of pigs? I'm not. 10% of Christians left due to sexual assaults. In a rare move of honesty, a recent study conducted by the Lifeway Academy found that nearly 10% of Protestants had left the church due to sexual abuse. The survey did not ask, however, if anyone had actually been abused. You don't have to overthink why they wouldn't do that. They just wouldn't like the answer. It's not just the kids that are getting abused. It appears that plenty of other unsavory things happen to adult churchgoers as well. Just under half of all Protestant churchgoers surveyed said that they were victims of unwanted sexual joking, unsolicited sexual messages, unwanted compliments, and inappropriate glances. 12% of such respondents said they endure those unwanted things while at church. Sounds like a gas going to those churches. Who needs a subway groper when you can just get molested or harassed in God's house of worship? What I find very telling from the survey is that only 1/3 of respondents felt that police needed to get involved whenever a case of sexual abuse happened. What the hell is that about? What percentage of people would want police involvement if it were any other institution other than a religious one? There's even a significant portion that wanted these kinds of cases handled quietly. No wonder abuses continue to happen. Who wouldn't want to work for an organization with these kinds of brainwashed idiots? Now note, the survey was conducted by Lifeway, which should not be confused with Lifewise Academy, that delightful institution constantly indoctrinating kids without parental approval. What is it with these guys and the word life in their title anyways? Is it that it makes everyone forget that they are essentially a death cult obsessed with blood? Olympic Games ceremony drives Christians crazy. If you're a sports fan, odds are you just tuned in Saturday to watch France's opening ceremony of the Olympics. If there had ever been a show intended to demonstrate just how much the French could piss off religious nutballs, this would be it. The ceremony began by praising a number of historical women, which right away probably started to piss quite a few people off. However, it was their pièce de résistance that really got to the faithful. A parody of Da Vinci's The Last Supper, featuring a member of non-binary and trans performers. This, apparently, was the straw that broke the camel's back.
The Olympics opens by making a demonic mockery of the Christian faith, fumed one viewer, while others vented that it was overt pagan and satanic symbolism. The scene, which actually depicts the Greek god Dionysus, appeared to Christians to be some sort of unholy symbol. These religious wackos are always accusing anything they don't like of being demonic. It couldn't occur to them that those so-called demonic images have actually been poached from ancient rituals, later declared demonic by a church that was busy burning people alive for not being faithful enough. Of course, expecting Christians to know anything about the world other than their favorite dead guy is a stretch. So, who are you going to listen to? An artist that made a kick-ass show? Or a bunch of tight-ass religious losers who worship a bearded guy threatening hell for anyone who doesn't believe in him? And with that, I'd like to thank all my listeners and Patreon supporters for their support. Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.